Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And if anybody ever brings up the word loyalty when it comes to Kevin Durant, if he leaves, you're a jackass if you think Kevin Durant is disloyal for leaving. You can say he's a knucklehead. I'll say that. I wouldn't understand it in any way. I would need Kevin to explain it in detail. Tell me why this works. Tell me why leaving Golden State is a good idea. Because I honestly cannot think of a single reason that would be a good call. I mean, really, if you've got one good reason that KD could leave, I'd like to hear it. I don't think it exists. Back to the Chilton Auto Body text line 505. Couch Potato here, repping the 505. Doesn't everyone realize that the Warriors are going to have an additional $200 million to spend next year and above their current revenues when they move to Chase? That'll buy a lot of bodies, just saying KD or no. Well, Couch Potato, no. You don't just have an additional $200 million to spend on players next year because you're moving into Chase. That is way oversimplifying things. And if you lose Kevin Durant, you can't just take his money and apply it somewhere else. Let's go to Ben in San Jose. Ben, at the start of the show, I asked the audience, what was your first thought when you heard KD was going to practice today? Now my question is, KD practiced. He's listed as questionable. How do you feel now?
Well, Herbs, I was just listening to while you were on commercial to ESPN, and there was a reporter on Nick Burdell who's up in Toronto, and he was, you know, the way he explained it, they let the reporters watch the first half hour of practice, and then they're asked to leave, and then the rest of the team comes out, and they do their thing. But he was kind of had a couple interviews, and essentially what he said is that just as he was leaving, KD came out, and he said literally like 10 minutes later he was going back in the locker room. The rest of the team went in the locker room, and then when he came out, he had ice packs on his calf and his heel. So he says, "And you know, listen, I know this guy. He's pretty reputable. I've heard him a few times, but it doesn't sound good. I mean, it just the way he explained, he's he would be shocked if KD starts tomorrow night. So I just wanted to share that with you.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Hey, if you've heard something that we haven't had the opportunity to hear, of course, I'm doing my own radio show right now, so I can't listen to other outlets. But if you would like to share any breaking news with us, I'm more than happy to let you break it. 888-957-9570. Just want to remind you, Grant Cohn is going to be our final guest of the day. That's going to be at about 3:20, I believe. And we're hoping to hear from John Dickinson, who is up in Toronto. He's at the Blue Jays game. Maybe get his thoughts on KD. But can we cue up the entirety? I know we've been using Jalen Rose, butchering Kevin DeGrant's name, just for fun, but it was in connection to him talking about the workout that he watched the other day, and I think it's relevant still. Let's hear Jalen Rose.
His name is Kevin DeGrant, and I'm really familiar with the setup workout that KD had yesterday with the team, Mr. Big Shot and the Truth, and I'm going to tell you guys, it didn't go well on any level.
Wow.
It did not go well on any level. I'm just going to keep it at that. So I went from being a guy that thinking he may come back later in the series. Nah, guy, I feel like he might not come back at all.
Ain't happening.
Yeah, and in case you missed it, he said, on any level did that go well. Now, did today's go well on any level? Well, they listed him as questionable, so it didn't go poorly, right? Or did it? Do you believe anything anyone is saying right now? I'm not sure that I do. Steve Kerr has admitted to lying to the media. No way. You mean head coaches lie to the media about injuries and stuff? Thank you. World News Tonight will have more on that later. My God. Look, I don't really believe anything that I don't see. I'm not saying the Warriors are liars. There actually are people out there that are saying the Warriors are liars. They've been lying about this. Whatever. If they are, they are. It's been, in their mind, it's a little white lie. It's a necessary lie. It's gamesmanship. It's, okay, Nick Nurse and the Raptors staff can't prepare for game four without at least considering that KD is out there. And what percent of KD do you have? I don't know. I mentioned a little bit earlier, what reason would KD ever have to leave? Stephen Invalio says, I don't know, he hates winning? Yeah, that would be a reason. I don't know anyone that hates winning. Tell that last caller that, of course, he's going to have ice packs. He just went through a 10-minute workout. I don't care if the guy's reputable. Very true. When you're done working out, if you had an injury going into the workout, chances are you're going to have some ice strapped to it coming out of the workout. That's just the way it goes. Speaking of lying, Charles Barkley appeared on our air on Friday. And when you can get Chuck on your air, just like I always say, if you got Secretariat in your stable, you let that bad boy run. Chuck weighed in on a million different things. One of them, he weighed in on the media lying. Is the media lied to us, Chuck?
Well, you know, number one, that's probably the best question I've ever been asked on a radio show. I want to thank you for asking that question. I think these media people are so full of crap. It's gotten to the point where I'm just laughing. This notion where you got every idiot, fool, and moron on radio or TV is lying every day saying, a source tells me, or somebody close to the situation, KD's going to the Knicks, Kawhi's going to the Clippers, Kyrie, he was going to New York a month ago. Now, yesterday, he's going to the Nets. You know, Kawhi, oh, it's already done. He's going to the Clippers. You know, I've gotten to the point where I can't even watch this stuff anymore because all these guys are lying.
There's Chuck, as only Chuck can be. We're going to give you we're going to sprinkle you a little bit more sound. I mean, look, with the exception of Kevin Durant being injured, Kevin Durant's future is the biggest story of the Warriors season. And Charles Barkley, not specific. Not super specific, but he is talking about free agency being about more than the Warriors.
He talked more about free agency this year than the Warriors going to the finals for the first time since Bill Russell Celtics all these years in a row. You know, they're a class organization. But we talk more about where's KD, where's Clay, where are all these guys, instead of giving the Warriors the props and the credit and respect they deserve.
Yeah, that's a bummer. This season, I've mentioned this a couple of times today and yesterday as well. Intentional or not, KD has held this season hostage. His free agency, now his injury, it's all about KD. And the Warriors seem to be starting to play along and operating under the notion that KD needs to be loved. If we want KD back, we have to show him love. So they've gone out of their way for the past month while he's been out to make sure that for every fan, or as Barkley called it, I don't know, knucklehead, idiot, fool, whatever he said, who says, oh, the Warriors are better without KD. They swept the Western Conference Finals. They don't need KD. That's asinine. Portland was the perfect matchup for the Warriors. Perfect. And they didn't need KD. But they need KD to beat the best, and the Raptors represent the best. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Joe Spadoni, he almost expects my brilliance with illegals now because he gave me raise the roof with one arm just there. Wow, really? It's just, it's old hat now. You don't get excited about it. Now you're a veteran. Veteran of the wars. One more little touch of sound, Charles Barkley talking about the Dubs leaving Oakland.
I think it's a travesty and a disgrace that they're leaving Oakland. That is one of the five best places I've ever played, and that was when y'all team sucked. Those fans were amazing. When the team sucked in the beginning when I got to the NBA, they still sold out every game and were some of the most passionate fans in the world.
Okay, first off, and don't come at me because of this, but they didn't sell out all the time when the team stunk. Trust me, I was there. I got to sit in floor seats when I was in junior high. I didn't pay for floor seats. I paid for nosebleeds. And the Warriors management, as bad as they were at the time, they made at least one good decision to tell the ushers, no matter what ticket that fan has, if the lower bowl ain't full, let them go down to the lower bowl so it looks decent on TV. That's what anybody is going to do. But what Chuck said basically echoes my point, right? What was special about Oracle? It wasn't the building, it was the fans. And now it's the team. And so the fans are even better. Will that vibe cross the bridge? Probably not. But I think it's doing a disservice in being borderline disrespectful to Warriors fans to say Chase Arena is not going to be anywhere near the atmosphere of Oracle. I understand some of the fans will not be able to make that trip. Some of them won't be there as frequently. But I feel Warriors fans, over the last 8 years, you have gone from a doormat to the top of the mountain. And I think Warriors fans appreciate that. And I think they will bring that appreciation no matter where they go. And while it's easy to say it's going to be a corporate executive crowd at Chase Center, the average fan is getting priced out. Did you go to any World Series games at AT&T Park? That was corporate and executive. It was also damn electric. It was a great environment. Joe Sherry, did you go to any games, any World Series games?
Game 2 World Series against the Tigers when Doug Fister took a comebacker off the dome.
Wow, that's very specific. And the place was electric, right?
Oh, blowing up. My sister actually got to go to Game 1 when Sandoval hit the 3 home runs off of Verlander. I wish I was at that one.
That wasn't the game Sandoval hit 3 homers off of Verlander. That was the game Barry Zito beat Verlander. Damn it. I'm a Zito apologist. I'm the resident Zito apologist. But yes, Pablo did hit his 3 homers.
Might need to get you some Zito yoga going on after this. Calm the nerves.
Been there, done that. I was texting with him just this morning, actually. We have we have co-curated a playlist on Spotify that we will be unveiling to the masses soon because every week, we'll hit each other once or twice. Hey, have you heard this dude? Have you heard that guy? Just turned him on to Dominic Fike. Joe Spadoni, you need to bust that out. I need to expose the Bay Area to Dominic Fike. I'm sure some people out there have heard him. But this is a young man from, I think it's Palm Beach, Florida. He's in his early 20s. And there was a bidding war for his talents that ended with him getting a $4 million record deal. He had not released a stitch of music before that. Nobody had heard him except for the little club shows or playing on the street corner or whatever. But all the executives were like, oh, my God, this dude's amazing. We have to have him. Bidding war. $4 million contract. He had never released any music. Crazy.
We in here talking about practice.
Thank you, AI. We have been talking about practice. We've been talking about Kevin Durant. He practiced with the Warriors. Joe, you got something else to say? Getting kind of frisky, no? All right. Thought I saw him pulling the mic down. I was about to tell him, cool your jets, buddy. 5'10". Actually, in the last 8 years, this is on the Chilton Autobody text line. Actually, in the last 8 years, Warriors fans went from doormat to the top of the mountain to the most hated in the league. Chuck from San Ramon. Fair point. Excellent. I've often relayed this anecdote. When I was working with Townie, he was the first person to get me to look at the Warriors from a national perspective because, as I have said ad nauseum, I am a lifetime Bay Area resident. I am an admitted Warriors honk. I mean, I will defend the Warriors, and I'm almost irrational in my support of, defense of, faith in the Warriors. And, you know, that's okay, by the way. If you are one of those, you know, blind optimism people, I think that's healthy. I'm happy for you because you're not stressing out about game 5. So anyway, back to the Uncle Townie story. Chuck in San Ramon says they went from doormat, top of the mountain, to most hated team in the league. And Townie said, okay, do you think the rest of the country likes that Curry shimmy? And I'm like, of course they love it. How can you not like Steph Curry and a shimmy? It's like, dude, the rest of the country hates the shimmy. I had never considered it from the rest of the country's perspective. And then I saw Chris Paul do the shimmy in Curry's face. And as much as I couldn't, I wanted to rip Chris Paul's head off for doing it. I'm like, oh, wow. The rest of the country might feel that way, too. And I get it. Look, We love taking down people on top. How many people were overjoyed that Tiger Woods came crashing down after climbing to the top of the golf world and being proclaimed the greatest golfer of all time before achieving all-time greatness, which is the record for majors, which Jack Nicklaus has? It looked like Tiger was going to tear that down in a hurry. And the resentment against Tiger built up. And then when his personal life came crashing down and his professional career followed, it seemed like more people than not enjoyed that, liked it, reveled in it. Not me. I'm just not built that way. If you're one of those people that is, that's fine. Different strokes for different folks. But those same people, not all of them, but a lot of them, that liked watching Tiger come down, I'll bet they were glued to the TV when he finally won again, when he finally got that next major. I'm a Tiger fan, so I'm going to watch regardless. I'm a sports fan. If I wasn't a golf fan or a Tiger fan, I would have been watching that because I'm a sports fan, and that's sports greatness. That's history on display. And that's what the Warriors have given us. And that's what the Raptors are giving their fans right now, or trying to give their fans. I'm not saying the series is over. 24 hours ago, 26 hours ago, I was saying the series was over. But in talking to most of you, reading the text line, talking with Coase on the air yesterday, talking to some friends of mine, I thought, well, it really is just one game. And I'm telling you, the one clip that stands out in my mind was after game four, Steve Kerr was asked, where do you go from here? And Kerr just looked right back at the questioner and said, we go to Toronto and try to win a game. So that's what they're going to try to do. Kevin Durant practiced today. He's listed as questionable. Does that change your mind? Does that make you more optimistic? It doesn't change my mind about game five. I am cautiously optimistic. I think they're, and I know some people roll their eyes when they hear this, I think their championship DNA, their championship core, their championship character, it's going to rear its head one more time. It will be there in Toronto. Now, whether it's enough to win the game, I don't know. But it's going to be on display. You will be proud of the Warriors when game five ends, win or lose. And if you're not, I feel bad for you. You're not a fan. If the Warriors lose this and you're not proud of them, I'm seriously sad for you. I'm proud as hell of these Warriors. Look, they're banged up late, and it might be too much. And they're running into a buzzsaw, a well-coached buzzsaw, an energized fan base that's seeing something they never thought they'd see before, an arena whose atmosphere is fire, and they've got a transcendent superstar. Boy, doesn't that sound a lot like the early dynastic Dubs? Yes, it describes them exactly. And that's what the Raptors kind of got going right now. Can't be mad at the Raptors. I'm happy for Raptors fans. I want them to be bitterly disappointed tomorrow, and then again after game six and again after game seven. But I don't have high hopes for the Warriors coming back for the second time in NBA history from 3-1 down in the finals. It's happened one time, and it happened to the Warriors. It'd be poetic justice if they turned it around. That'd be great. But, man, you know, back to a couple of callers were talking about Toronto's depth. I understand what they're saying. It seems like Toronto's deep, but they're not. We've had two guests from Canada so far today, and they have both pointed that out, that Nick Nurse is really only going 8 deep. You know why it seems like they have superior depth? Because everybody you see in a Raptors uniform is contributing. They're getting something done, whether it's one of the 2-3 guys coming off the bench or one of the starters that you just don't really think of anything other than a complimentary player. I think a lot of people, they use the word bench and complimentary in the same way. Complimentary player doesn't have to be a bench player. But you look at the Raptors roster, and there's guys who aren't playing. For a while, Serge Ibaka couldn't get on the floor at times in this series. And then game four, he goes bananas for 20 points in 23 minutes. That's what everyone's talking about when they say the Raptors seem to be deeper than the Warriors. Look, the Warriors' bench is shot right now. We know that. They've got a bunch of specialists who come in. They can do one or two things really, really well. McKinney is an animal on the boards. Quinn Cook can get hot and fill it up. Bogut, he knows the system, sets good screens, great professional. Jordan Bell comes in. He might give you a flashbang play. It's a human flashbang grenade that gets you fired up. Hey, this guy might be something. But none of them are guys that you can just, hey, go get me 12 minutes and be solid. They just don't have that right now. Sean Livingston was the guy that forever, I was like, when in doubt, go to Sean. He's not going to wow you, but he's not going to hurt you either. Never going to hurt you. Let's go to Thomas in Daly City right quick. Thomas, what's going on? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Yes. Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What you got?
Yes. My main thing is I'm a Warrior fan, and I want us to win another championship, and I would love for KD to play so that we can win that championship, but I'd rather lose the championship than to get him messed up again. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Thomas. I wish we'd have hung out because I was going to ask him, would you feel the same way if you knew for certain that KD was leaving? I'm thinking your thoughts might change a little bit, but then that would just be mean. Yeah, I don't care if he gets hurt if he leaves. Look, if KD leaves, how are you going to feel? Are you going to hate KD for leaving? Are you going to accuse KD of being disloyal? You do know that KD has re-signed with the Warriors twice now, right? You do realize that one of the times he did that, it was to free up money to keep Iggy and Sean, right? You also realize that he re-signed with Oklahoma City after his rookie contract. He gave him 9 years. KD's loyal. He's also allowed to look for himself. But if he's looking for himself when it comes time to free agency and you're not looking at Chase Center going, yes, please, give me some of that, then you're even weirder than I thought, dude. On 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's 3:16 on a Sunday afternoon. Beautiful day in the city. I am Michael Urban. We've got about 45 minutes left together. We're going to be speaking with Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat in mere moments. I'm borderline proud and definitely surprised that since I mentioned Dominic Fike in the last segment as my new musical discovery, and I passed him along to my buddy Zito this week, he hadn't heard, he thumbs up. I thought for sure the text line would say, dude, I've been on Dominic Fike for like 6 months. But nobody's been on Dominic Fike for 6 months. It didn't have any music out 6 months ago. But we have uncovered some from his 6-song EP, and here's why he had a bidding war before executives even heard any music released by him. He got a $4 million deal. Some people have said there's a Jack Johnson vibe to it. I get it, but nah, he's younger than that, fresher than that. The song is called Three Nights.
Three nights at the motel under streetlights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. And you can call me names if you call me up.
I know it's a sports show. Just enjoy the music for a minute. Settle yourself down for our final 45 minutes. Appreciate this.
Like the least of all your problems. You can't reach me if you want to stay up tonight. Stay up at night. My green lights in your body language. Seems like you could use a little company for me. But if you got figured out like
so good.
Said,
how can you not be bobbing your head?
Don't waste a minute, don't wait a minute. It's only a matter of time for you to
ooh, dirty. How good is that? Just any singer who uses his voice as an instrument, like Dominic just did. Again, the name is Dominic Fike. I understand this is sports talk radio, but it's Sunday. I'm just trying to be a little bit diverse. Renaissance man. But Dominic Fike, you need to get him on your playlist. Good stuff right there. Thank you for entertaining me, for humoring me by playing a little bit of that. We are going to be talking with Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat very shortly. In case you missed the news, the big news when I first got on the air was KD's going to practice. Or wait, is it KD or is it KDG?
His name is Kevin Durant.
Right, his name's Kevin Durant. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's Kevin Durant. What is it, Jalen?
His name is Kevin Durant.
Okay. Kevin DeGrant, KDG, we've been wrong all this time. KDG was cleared to practice today. So the first question we threw out to the audience was, how's that make you feel? I wanted to know, what was the first thought that came to your mind as a Warriors fan when you heard KD was going to practice? KD's been hearing forever that he's got to get cleared to practice and get through practice to play in a game. So you hear he's going to practice. It's the first time you've heard that. Probably pretty excited. So we had that. Now we hear he got through practice. He was all iced up afterwards, somebody said. So maybe it didn't go well. No, that doesn't mean it didn't go well. It meant he has an injury and he just worked out. So he's icing it. That's just how that goes. But they've listed him as questionable. Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat joins us now. Grant also does great work on football. And as somebody on the Chilton Autobody text line told us, in football, if you're listed as questionable, you are playing. Grant, does that apply in basketball as well?
You know, I don't know if it does, because the Warriors listed Klay Thompson as questionable for game 3, and they didn't play in that game. That being said, I would expect Kevin Durant will play in this game. I think the Warriors are a little bit frustrated and annoyed that he hasn't come back already. I think he's probably ready. I'd be shocked if he didn't play. I think the question really is going to be not about his calf, but about his conditioning, since he hasn't played in about a month.
We're speaking with Grant Cohn. He's a columnist for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Grant, your first answer, my ears perked up when you kind of suggested that the Warriors, I've read something else out here, not by you, but another piece suggested that KD has been ready and he's just not willing to put it on the line for him. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think there's something to that. I mean, just from listening to what the Warriors have been saying, Steve Kerr in particular, it sounded like they were really crossing their fingers and hoping that he would be back for game 4. And then he didn't come back for game 4 the way Kevon Looney and Klay Thompson did. And then after the game, it seemed like Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry really taking subtle shots directly at Kevin Durant, saying, you know, like, it's the finals, man up, you got to play. If you don't play now, when are you going to play? I think the issue really with Kevin Durant is everyone knows, everyone assumes he's leaving at the end of the year. What does he owe it to the Warriors to come back and risk further injury, maybe risk tearing his Achilles, which he didn't do the first time? So I think that's what the Warriors think Kevin Durant is weighing, and at this point with the Warriors down 3-1, if he were to miss another game and sit out another game, I think it would make him look bad unless he really, really is injured.
We're talking with Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Grant, I know what you're referencing when you say Klay and Steph seem to be taking veiled shots. I don't know that I agree with that, Grant, because I heard what Klay said, and yes, I can understand where you would hear that and say, oh, that's a subtle shot, but I don't think Klay has that type of vitriol in him.
Maybe it wasn't met with vitriol behind it, but I think it was Klay saying, look, I manned up. I played. I risked tearing my hamstring. I did it for the team, and I think everyone's expecting Kevin Durant to do it. I think they're a little surprised he didn't do it in game 4, and they understand. But now it's game 5. If he doesn't come back now with them on the brink of elimination, that would really put a sour taste in everyone's mouth with him leaving for the Knicks next year. And it would make people wonder, you know, is this the kind of guy who really was a Warrior? Does he deserve a statue outside of the Chase Center? I think it would really risk him leaving town on a really sour note.
The voice you hear is that of Grant Cohn. He appears courtesy Dialpad. Dialpad helps you make the smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, videos, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Grant, the second question I asked the audience was, let's say this does end here. Let's say the Raptors do what they did, what the Warriors did in 2015, and accomplish something that I didn't think would ever happen in my lifetime as a lifelong Bay Area fan and Warriors fan. I never thought they were going to be at the top of the mountain. They got there. They've stayed there for a while. The Raptors are about to get there. If this does end and the Raptors get their title, is the dynasty over to you? Or do you have enough faith in, even if KD leaves, in this Warriors organization to keep this going? I just can't imagine them allowing it to end with a thud before they move into Chase Center.
Yeah, I think the dynasty is going to be over if they lose this one, and I don't think there's any shame in that. I think they're on the downslope. If they lose Kevin Durant, there's no real way to replace him. Stephen Curry is going to be 32 next year. This team sort of has a Showtime Lakers at the early 90s feel. Like, there's no shame. They went to the finals 5 years in a row, but it takes a toll. And now everyone's a little bit older and injured. I believe Kawhi Leonard's probably going to leave the Raptors at the end of the year, come to the Clippers, and that'll be the team to beat in the West. I think the Warriors, even if they run it back with the Splash Brothers and Iguodala and Draymond Green, they probably would be a top four seed in the West, maybe even a top two, but I don't think they would be considered the obvious favorites to win the title, or even the favorites at all. I think they'd probably be fourth or fifth in the pecking order.
Grant, I'm going to take a left turn here real quick, and just because you're an eloquent guy, I know that you understand sports, you've been around it your whole life. Earlier in the program, and again, I understand this is taking us a little bit off what's real hot right now, but I wanted to make sure that if this does end on Monday, and I'm not going to be on the air again until next weekend, I did a little soliloquy in appreciation for Sean Livingston. What he has been through in his career, he has had an amazing journey. He's meant a lot to the Warriors, and while he's not a superstar, he's everything you want from your professional athletes, and I'd just like to get your thoughts if this is the end for Sean.
Yeah, it's interesting you say he's not a superstar. Well, he was supposed to be a superstar.
He was.
We all remember him coming out of high school. He was supposed to be, what, the next Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
Something like that. And for him to suffer that tragic knee injury, that catastrophic knee injury, he had to have a different plan in life. He didn't get to be a superstar that he was supposed to be. He had to reconfigure and become a role player. And he handled that with so much grace. If you ever got to meet Sean Livingston, he was the most normal person on the team. And you wouldn't necessarily expect that from someone who was considered like the next great thing when he was 14 or 15 years old. He had his upbringing, he had every opportunity to become one of these guys who just loses touch with everyday life and being normal. He never did. He was always the go-to guy to talk to. He always had time. He was one of the best guys on a team that was full of great guys. It'll be sad to see him go if he does.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and that's very well put. You know, Sean Livingston, that injury that you mentioned, I was talking about that a little bit earlier. Have you seen that twice? I've seen it once. That's all I needed to see it. I wouldn't allow myself to see it a second time.
Yeah, I'm one of those kind of guys, but once you see it once, you try to look away as soon as it happens, and you never want to see it again. It's an incredibly personal and upsetting moment for Sean Livingston, and I can't take any pleasure in it, but I just it's unbearable to watch.
My 16-year-old daughter, she's now 16. When she was 14, she told me that Sean Livingston was her favorite player. She didn't even know the backstory. So I told her the story and said, you don't want to watch it. And she begged me to let her watch it. And so I let her to watch it. And when the clip ends, she looks down, shakes her head, and starts walking away. And I'm like, what? And she turns around and goes, I can't believe you let me watch that, Dad.
Yeah.
But it was.
His story is amazing. It's almost biblical. It's like he was given a gift by God, and then it was taken away from him when he was about 20, 21. And it's like, how do you respond to that? You were supposed to be this all-natural, gifted player, and now the best you can be is a guy off the bench. And there's no shame in that. I mean, you're still one of the 200 best players in the world, but it's like you were given a gift and you were taking it away, and how cruel life can be. But at the same time, his story is a happy ending. It's a positive.
No doubt.
And that's great.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking with Grant Cohn. He's a columnist at the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He's a great follow on Twitter as well. Very opinionated at Grant Cohn, GRANTCOHN. Yeah, you mentioned he was supposed to be the next Magic Johnson. He was LeBron before LeBron. Remember when LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a senior in high school? I believe Felipe Lopez got that honor at one point too, but that was Sean Livingston too.
Yeah, I remember him when I was in high school. The way they hyped him up, he was supposed to be the next 6'6" savant passer. Like, he was going to be Jason Kidd, and he was a lot of fun to watch on that Clippers team. And it was just, his body was a little bit too, he didn't really have an NBA body yet. And whatever happened, that was the most horrific, fluky injury I've ever half seen.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned the word character, and that's Sean Livingston, period. That's all you need to say. If there's one word I could explain to describe Sean Livingston, it's character. And I'm glad you allowed me to take that little diversion. Now, let's kind of stay with Livingston. He's a part of a bench that's taken a lot of bullets for the Warriors, and understandably so. It appears, now, there's a lot of people saying that Nick Nurse is out coaching Kerr, and whether you believe that or not, you better bring me some hard evidence. Look, Kerr is dealing with half a hand. Nurse has shortened his rotation. He's making better in-game adjustments. I will agree with that. But for people that have been going down the road of the Warriors bench, Grant, humor me here. Before season starts, let's assume you come out of training camp healthy. The coaching staff will sit down and say, this is how I want the rotation to go, and this is why. all things being healthy and equal, this is the way it's going to work. And that's the way it is with every team before every season starts. And it was the way it was with the Warriors last year, the year before that, and this year. This year, how often have they been completely healthy? How often has that rotation not been completely blown up? That exposes your bench because you put people in unfamiliar situations. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And the thing about this year in particular is the Warriors put themselves in that position from the onset when they signed DeMarcus Cousins. I think it all comes back to that.
Mm.
Because instead of signing someone who's not flashy, someone who's just solid and who can be part of your rotation in the playoffs, they sort of went for the boom or bust guy. The guy who wasn't even healthy, that they thought maybe if he recovered and stayed healthy, he could make them even more unbeatable than they already were. When they didn't need a guy like that, they need more of a role player. And so now what they have is, instead of having a functional guy in their rotation, they're down to six or seven people. And it all stems back to the signing of DeMarcus Cousins. At the time, I felt like it was a luxury vanity hire.
Sure.
We're the Warriors. We can do this. Doesn't it make us look good? But really, 9 months down the line, is it functional? And so far, the answer has been no. So if they could do it again, I'm sure they would sign just some, you know, steady Eddies to fill out their bench as opposed to getting someone to make their starting lineup seem gaudier than it already was.
Yeah, let me piggyback on that, Grant. We're talking with Grant Cohn. He's a columnist at the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Good enough to give us some time here, courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. Okay, so I agree with you. It was a luxury. It was a vanity hire, I think is what you called it, in signing Boogie. But let's go from there to the signing of Andrew Bogut. There's not a whole lot you can really criticize with it. And at the time, it was all they had available. But also, at the time, they needed wing depth in a bad way, and they didn't go and get it. That's the only criticism I will allow on this show of Bob Myers. Any other criticism of him and the moves that they've made, I don't know, I think it's six of one, a half dozen of other, but I really would have liked to have seen them. Look, it ended up working out well when Boogie got hurt again, but I really would have liked to see them add a wing player because that's what they're missing right now.
You're absolutely right. I mean, they're so desperate for a wing player. If they had Patrick McCaw still on their roster, he'd be playing heavy minutes right now.
And he's on the other roster. That hurts.
He's on the other roster pretty much just hanging out on the bench. That's how much the Warriors need him, and it's interesting that they knew they had an issue. They knew they weren't going to get anywhere with Patrick McCaw, and they instead just signed centers. So, yes, I think they miscalculated on their roster, and if they lose this series, which I think they will, that'll be one of the main questions. Did we not really set ourselves up with a solid eight-man rotation?
Grant, do you think that was because, look, one thing the Warriors have never really had, not only during this dynastic run, but throughout their history, was a dominant center. I mean, you would have to go way, way, way back to the Nate Thurmans and Will Chamberlains and all that to have a legit five. And I felt like the Warriors thought, well, we're great now. We're a dynasty now, but let's get even greater by getting a great five for the first time ever.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that Joe Lacob's been chasing. Kind of like his Moby Dick. It validates him as being a real big-time NBA organization. You're not trying to get by with just a small ball rinky-dink lineup.
Light years, baby.
You know, it's like now we're like the Los Angeles Lakers. We have Wilt. We have this all-time great center, and we can compete with anyone. So, yeah, I think that's very much a Joe Lacob thing. He wanted Andrew Bogut initially. He traded Monte Ellis for him, and now he signed DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe Steve Kerr wants him too, because you remember when Steve Kerr was the GM of Phoenix, he brought in Shaq when Shaq was about 36. So maybe both of them wanted it. It's just strange because it sort of slows down the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors are best when Draymond Green's at center. I mean, they need more wings, and we're seeing it right now. They really need Alphonso McKinney's one of the most important players on their roster right now. They need him to step up in game five. That's a tough position to be in.
And that's the thing, and I've been saying today, it's their bench guys are specialists. They're not guys you can just plug in and say, go give me 12 solid minutes, like you could say to Sean Livingston once upon a time. Now you're saying, McKinney, go get me offensive rebounds because that's what you do. Quinn Cook, go get me some three-pointers because that's what you do. He did it well in game two, didn't do it well since then. Everybody is kind of just, I mean, even I call Jordan Bell the human flashbang grenade. He'll give you that. And it's spectacular, but then he'll do something kind of dumb and make you remember that he's been in Kerr's doghouse. It just seems like at one point during this run, everybody on the Warriors was just a good ball player that you could trust and put him in the game. And if I need 10 minutes out of him, I can squeeze that. Now, throwing a guy out there for 10 minutes, man, you are white knuckling it the whole time.
Yeah, you know, a big reason the Raptors won Game 4 is they got 20 points off the bench from Serge Ibaka.
Yep.
I mean, the Warriors aren't going to get that from anyone. In Game 5, the Raptors could get 20 off the bench from Fred VanVleet. They have those kind of guys. The Warriors, I mean, the closest guy they have to that is Quinn Cook, who I actually think is pretty good and doesn't get the playing time he deserves. I mean, maybe if he got 30 minutes a night, he could give 15 to 20 points. But outside of him, there's no one who's going to give you buckets like that. Sean Livingston, at most, he'll give you 7 points. Jordan Bell, like you said, he'll give you a dunk, maybe two. They just don't have the Fred VanVleet, Serge Ibaka kind of guy off the bench, and I think that's really the difference between these two teams right now. Like, between Draymond, Clay, and Steph, they can keep pace scoring with Kawhi, Siakam, and Kyle Lowry. It's that every game there's been a guy like Marcus Sullivan who gets 20, or Danny Green who hits 18. The Warriors just haven't had that guy. It's like it, coming back to what you said, it's the difference is the fourth through the eighth guys in the rotations.
Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, good enough to join us via the dial pad guest line. Just a couple more minutes for you, Grant. A couple more questions for you, I should say.
Sure.
I was talking with the audience about you're leaving Oracle, you're going to Chase Center. It came up because, and I already said this with you, Grant, I just don't see them letting the dynasty end with a thud walking in to Chase Center. But I think it's the narrative, and I'm not fond of that word, but it's omnipresent, and I just fell victim to it. The narrative is that it's not going to be the same at Chase Center. And what was special about Oracle was the fans, and it was East Bay fans, and they're not going to cross the bridge en masse. And so the Chase Center is going to be corporate and Super Bowl-ish and not feel the same. I don't quite buy that. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think Oracle's already like that. I mean, you could make the argument that Oracle has been pretty corporatist for the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's not like tickets are cheap to go to Oracle. It's not like you can just be 18 and get a bunch of your buddies and sit behind the hoop. I mean, it's tough to go there. The change has already happened.
Yeah,
I do
agree.
It's the same that they're just leaving Oakland after Oakland supported them through all those horrendous years, but they want to make more money. I understand that. I don't think it'll be that much of a difference from what Oracle is right now.
Yeah, and you know, talk about romanticizing the past, and I think that's a lot of what's going on right here. We're romanticizing Oracle. There's nothing special about Oracle as an arena. It's kind of a dump. I mean, it's better since
then. Yeah, and that's kind of the charm about it.
Right.
It's in East Oakland. It's a dump.
Right.
The team that was there for so many years was basically like the Browns or the Clippers, and the fact that they turn into the Patriots overnight is just – it's like – it's magic, and the Oakland fans in particular really deserved that type of magic, and it's too bad the team gets taken away when they're actually good. But what I think an interesting little dramatic irony of it all is when they finally get to their palace in San Francisco, they may not be the same team they were. Now, they may still be a team that wins 55 games a year, but they may not be the same touched-by-God team they've been the past half decade.
Will we, in 20 years, Grant, look back at the Golden State Warriors and what's going on right now as the Oracle stretch and the Chase stretch? Because I do think they are going to contend for titles for another couple, 3 years. Win one isn't going to be as easy. Everybody's much older. The rest of the league has gotten better. But I do think we're going to end up looking at two eras of this championship run.
Well, yeah, I think you could put it that way. When you look back in 20 years and you try to pinpoint the moment the Warriors' dynasty ended, you say, well, it coincided with them leaving Oracle. That wasn't the reason the dynasty ended, but for whatever reason, those two things coincided. If it happens to go the way I think it will.
All right, one last question. If you had to name an MVP of this series and you couldn't pick Kawhi Leonard, who would it be?
That's a great question. I'm not going to pick a Warrior either because they've been thoroughly outplayed in this series. You know, I would have to pick Pascal Siakam. Even though he only really had a big impact scoring in the first game, I think he's been consistently the sixth player. He makes an impact on defense. He makes an impact rebounding and passing. I think if you look at the plus-minus, I think he is either the best or the second best. He gives the Raptors a real legitimate second option. I think he's probably going to be an all-star next year. And I think actually he's outplayed Draymond Green in the series. I think that's one of the reasons the Raptors have a 3-1 lead. This guy Siakam's a real player, and he's just coming into his own right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be my pick, too, and you know what cemented it? It was in Game 4. I think it was about the third quarter. Siakam had the ball on the left wing inside the three-point line. He went through his legs, through his legs, through his legs, stepped back, and then drilled a jumper over Draymond. I'm like, damn, this guy's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond Green couldn't do that move. Draymond Green's a great player, and I think him and Siakam have a lot in common. But Siakam he's a terrific one-on-one offensive guy. He's got moves off the dribble. He has a jump shot. I think if anything gives Toronto a chance to keep Kawhi Leonard next year, it's this kid. I don't think any other team can really provide that level of a number two option like the Raptors can. This guy's 25. At times, he seems like a young Scottie Pippen. He has that type of an effect on the game.
You know what's amazing is that from what I'm hearing, we've talked to a couple people up in Canada. If Kawhi leaves, no harm done. No hard feelings whatsoever. The Raptors fans will just be appreciative. How different would that be here?
I know they're so polite and understanding over there. It's so quaint.
Somebody had a great text saying they're so polite that their chant at Oracle was, no offense, but go Raptors.
It's really quite nice. They're bringing sportsmanship back to the NBA. But, yeah, I mean, I think they understood what they were doing when they traded for Kawhi Leonard. It's like most people think we're crazy doing this. We have one shot. Let's go for it. It's not like the Raptors are ever going to win a title again. I mean, they're not in this position. Let's give it a go. I mean, if it's only a one-year thing, so be it. They've never won a title before. I love it. I think more teams should go for it. I feel like the last 5 years, a bunch of teams look at the Warriors and are like, you know what? Now's not our time to try to compete.
Yep.
Finally, the Raptors made a run for it, so good for them.
Excellent, Grant. All your stuff has been excellent. Thank you so much. You're always gracious with your time when we request it. And I hope the Warriors do bring it back, because that'll just give me another reason to hitch up next weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, if they win Game 5, they get Game 6 at home. Then if they win that, then they have momentum heading into Game 7. So this series, in a lot of ways, is just getting started.
All right, man. Thank you so much again for your time. That's Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He's also a very good Twitter follow. You get him at Grant Cohn, GRANTCOHN. Can we get the breaking news sounder again? Yes, we can. World News Tonight. Spadoni. Oh, my God. First off, let me fall on the sword. Incredibly unfair of what I just did to Joe Spadoni. It makes him sound like he fell down on the job. He didn't. Bad host to say, hey, remember that thing that you played an hour and a half ago? You should have it at your fingertip right now. Play it now. And when they can't, when it takes them 5 seconds, you get on them. Bad host. Sorry, Joe. From me to you, I apologize.
We're in here talking about practice.
And who are we talking about specifically?
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
That's what I thought. Kevin DeGrant practiced today, and he's now listed as questionable. The future of Kevin Durant and the Warriors, it's up in the air. Is the future of Sean Livingston up in the air? Is the future of Andre Iguodala up in the air? Well, Andre Iguodala just chimed in with his future. Oh, we don't have the sound. It's printed. Okay. Wow. Communication. Do we have sound on Iggy doing this, or do we not? No? Okay. It's printed. So I'm going to read it to you. Here's Iguodala on the Warriors' future. This is the important part, because people are thinking Iguodala is going to cost him $17 to $18 million next year. And based on what I've seen so far, I don't want it. I don't want Iggy back at $18 million. Maybe he'll just go away and say, you know what? I've won my rings. I'm going to retire. Don't need that third year. Those of you who are thinking that way are forgetting how hard Iggy negotiated this contract. Iggy went tooth and nail for that third year. That was the sticking point. He went out and took other offers from other teams. But he came back to the Warriors, he played hardball, and he got this third year at 17, 18 mil. He's coming back. Here's what he says. I'll be here next year for sure. And I'm pretty confident that we'll have our core back, and we'll try to make another run at it. Some people might think that sounds a little bit defeatist in saying, try to make another run at it. I choose not to. He's not saying that it's over. It's another run is going back next year for another run. It's just going back for another run, right? It's not saying we're going to lose this year. Not looking good, though, I'll admit. And again, Kevin Durant practiced today. Kevin Durant practiced, got through practice without incident. And while an ESPN talking head was all breathless that, oh, he's packed in ice after the workout. Well, yeah, that's what you do when you had an injury going into a workout. You ice it after the workout to make sure it doesn't start barking again. That's just the way it goes. But again, Andre Iguodala saying, for sure, I will be back. You guys ever meet one of your heroes? Did you get nervous around him? That's what happened with me the first time I worked with Rick Tittle. He has long been my radio man crush. He's going to follow me with 4 hours of his own. And here's what a great guy he is. And it might be because I blow smoke up his ass every time I'm on the air, but I'd like to think it's just because he likes me and we're friends. Right, Rick? That's why you're giving me an extra 10, 15 minutes of your time.
You know what? Just for that, I'm only going to do 3 hours after this.
Okay. 3 hours. That's right. Give give Warriors World a couple hours to end the night.
Is that who's coming in?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, Sam and Andy, they bring it. And on their Twitter, they swear.
Really?
Yeah. The kids. The kids like to swear.
Yeah, I've realized that. My daughter, actually, for the first time, dropped an F-bomb in front of me.
Ooh.
I'm like, how do you even know that word? She's like, Dad, I'm 16. I'm in high school. I want to ask you the same two questions, the big two questions I've asked the audience.
Okay.
Just before I hit the air, we heard that KD was, in fact, going to practice today. Now, his name is Kevin Durant. Spadoni, I don't know if you've heard this clip, but Jalen Rose calls him something else.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Kevin DeGrant?
So I've been wearing that out, Kevin DeGrant.
Wow, didn't he sign the Declaration of Independence, I think? Kevin DeGrant?
Doesn't he have some show? Doesn't he have some show about space or something? No, that's Neil deGrasse.
Tyson. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so the first question was to the audience. Okay, what's your very first instinct when you hear Kevin Durant's practicing?
I think then there's a, shot in hell that he might play. That's what I think.
But not overly optimistic that he's going to play, because we've been told before that he's going to practice and he didn't practice. And
I just can't believe that there are still people who think that he's somehow not manning up or that he's
soft. Incredible?
He has to be cleared by the doctor, and he hasn't been cleared yet.
Right. I mean, now, this is not Kawhi Leonard being cleared by the Spurs doctors and saying, I'm not ready to go.
His calf is torn. It's called a strain.
But it's a tear.
A strain is a tear. And that's why I'd like to tell my best friend, I borrowed your jacket and I walked by a barbed wire fence and I strained it. This isn't a matter of just
now
playing.
I understand it. I didn't understand it when I was listening to you yesterday. I'm like, yeah. That went over my head. Rick sometimes does, but now I get it.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, but whatever. You can question him one way or another. But if his calf is torn and the doctor says you can't play, I don't see how you hold that against somebody. It's like, give me that duct tape. I'll fix it myself, right. Damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not how it works.
And we're starting to hear more and more about that. I don't know if you saw Kawakami's piece, kind of suggested that. Some other talking heads been suggesting it.
No, I don't read any.
I don't get it.
You know me.
But, okay, let me give you the second question. So let's say it ends in Toronto tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. The Raptors win the title. Is dynasty over for you, or do you have faith in this organization to, as I heard you say, and accurately so, of course, the Warriors are not going to let this end with a thud going into the Chase Center. I have every belief that the Warriors are going to be contenders the next several years, KD or no.
I'll just put it to you this way. It's like the Patriots and Brady. As long as Brady's there, their party is going to continue, and it's the same with Steph. If we have Steph Curry, we're going to have fun.
Right.
And we have an owner in Joe Lacob who goes above and beyond the call of duty. And it has nothing to do with us being the flagship and kissing his behind. It's the fact of the matter that he pays over $100 million on luxury tax penalties,
right,
just to win. And he has said he wants to make Clay and Draymond Warriors for life. And he's also said he's going to do everything in his power to try to keep Kevin Durant. So we have Steph. He's healthy, knock on wood. If we have Steph and we have an owner that's spending that much money to win, I feel fine. Even if we as Warrior fans, Dub Nation, even if we lose tomorrow, this is not the end. Nero is not playing the lyre while Rome is burning right now.
Classic Rick Tittle right there. Rick is joining me for the finale of my show, which is Good for Ball, Bad for Ball.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
All right, we do mean everything. It can be sports, non-sports, whatever, but everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. You might bite into a rotten peach and say, that's bad for ball. And then you get a delicious golden apple and you bite into that and you say, that's good for ball. Rick, do you understand how to play?
I can tell you a bad for ball.
Okay, I was going to ask you to give me one.
All right, when did it become acceptable for people who are riding bicycles, adults, to ride in the middle of the lane going about 15 miles per hour?
Oh, that would be never.
Well, it's extreme. I guess legally it's okay, but it's extremely dangerous for everyone.
Right.
and you hold up traffic. I don't know what world these people are living in, that they're going 15 miles per hour in the middle of a lane. Just scoot over, and then we'll all get along.
I read last week in the Chronicle that pedestrian and cyclist injuries are dramatically on the uptick in San Francisco the past couple of years, and I think that's probably why.
Let's be careful out there, folks. All right, let the all sports right. talk ensue.
Okay, let's go. Joe Sherry has done a fine job with Good for Ball, Bad for Ball when he's been given the responsibility. Let's see how he does today. I know that Rick Tittle likes nothing more than a Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, if you will, nugget. He's had an interesting career thus far in football, in which he started with the Cleveland Browns and flew up north to play with the Montreal Alouettes in the CFL and rounded it out with a couple of games in the short-lived AAF with the Memphis Express. Still haven't been paid for the stories I wrote for the AAF website, but that's just me with my sour grapes, bad for ball. Johnny this week expressed that he's interested in playing for the, wait for it, the XFL for his home state and be reunited with his former coach, June Jones. Johnny Manziel being the face of the XFL. Rick Tittle, good for ball or bad for ball?
I think June Jones was my ex-coach. Isn't he everybody's ex-coach of all time?
And here's the thing, and I've seen this referenced a number of times. Did you know Johnny Manziel never played a down under June Jones? June Jones ran practices when Johnny Manziel was on the roster, but he never actually got to play in a game.
And remember, he does not want to be known as Johnny Manziel anymore. He wants to be known as John Manziel.
So is he John Football?
He has to be called John Football or John Wick. I mean, pick one or the other.
I'm just going to call him John. Get your life together, dude.
Well, listen, he is, as you've just shown, he's something to talk about.
Yep.
From no matter what happens to him in his career and the days of renting that house in Mexico with Josh Gordon and all the parties and hot tubs and everything he had, he can always say, I beat the San Francisco 49ers. And he did when he was with the Browns.
And he was one of the most badass college football players you'll ever watch. You got to give him that. He was dynamic.
You know what's funny is that when that draft came out, and I had a man crush on Khalil Mack, and I was on the air saying, please, please, Raiders draft Khalil Mack. And Aubrey, at that time, Aubrey Huff was here, and he was saying that it would be the biggest mistake in the history of the Raiders that they have to take Johnny Manziel.
Mm.
So it's enticing when you watch him, but everything was a busted play.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, he's exciting. 1% of me was intrigued. 99% said, no, the guy's going to be a clown. I know it. I know it. But there's always that little bit of doubt. You can't ever say a guy can't play until he actually gets there or not. And even Jerry Jones said he had the card in his hand, and his son Steven said, no, Zach Martin, really? Guard Notre Dame. Guard Notre Dame. That's no fun. And the guy's all pro as soon as he comes into the league. Right. It's just he's an enticing guy. But I think he's shown by now that he's not going to be a great professional football player. I wish him all the luck in the world, but I want no part of him on any team I root for.
Well done. I know that you are a hockey fan, and in a letter published by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today, St. Louis Blues owner Tom Stillman thanked his fans after, quote, the elation of breaking through and bringing St. Louis its first ever Stanley Cup. Only one problem there. They haven't won it just yet. They lead the series 3-2. Good for ball or bad for ball? Premature celebration.
Premature e-jinx elation?
Yes.
That's what I'll call it. Well, that's a, I mean, if it all goes...
That Dewey defeats Truman?
If it all goes pear-shaped now, then we'll know why. That would be 100% of the reason. But if St. Louis wins, it's just another thorn in the side of Sharks fans like myself. Everybody wins one and we don't.
All right, I got another one for you. I'm going to have to squeeze it in, but it's too good to not squeeze. Earlier today, USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin posted a picture of an interesting new piercing available for the NBA Finals up in Toronto, an advertisement that was selling NBA tongue rings, in which you said you could support your favorite team in the NBA Finals. Some of the designs you could get are a simple basketball and also the Jordan logo, supporting your local sports team with tongue rings. Rick Tittle, good for ball or bad for ball?
I thought tongue rings went out with MySpace. They're making a comeback?
Yeah, as are nose rings. Little known fact, I did a study. Every female with a nose ring, she has a bisexual or lesbian experience in her background.
I can't believe you just said that. All right, I'm coming up next. Thanks, Herbs.
Rick Tittle's up next. That's about as good for ball away as you could possibly end this show, right? No, actually, I have one that's better. As I mentioned earlier in the program, last month I celebrated 6 years sober. I didn't even really celebrate it, because if I was celebrating sobriety, I'd have to do it every day, because it's a battle you fight every day, and you don't fight it alone. I've had a lot of help, and trying to get healthy. I'm still trying to get healthy. Haven't had a relapse, knock on wood, but I couldn't do it alone. If you're struggling with drugs and alcohol, I will be that someone for you. Hit me up on Twitter, at Big Herb Sports. If I can't point you in the right direction, I will take you in the right direction. I will take you to your first meeting. Herbs will be your sidekick. Thank you for joining us again. Rick Tittle is coming up next, and then you got Warriors World after that. And I kind of like the way Covey signed off today. Be good to each other out there on 95.7 The Game.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.